This morning I'm going to repeat our opening scripture and then move into almost the end of the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 7 of Matthew. So we begin again with Matthew chapter 10. Jesus sent out the 12 with the following instructions. As you go, proclaim the good news. The kingdom of God is at hand. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. See, I am sending you out like sheep into the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and as innocent as doves. And then chapter 7. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but are inwardly ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorns or figs from thistles? In the same way, every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will know them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many deeds of power in your name? Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Go away from me, you evildoers. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I guess today is my serious day. Just as I didn't do any kidding or joking with honoring Sarah, I have no cute story or little pastor's joke or anecdote to begin this sermon. As Jesus comes to the end of the Sermon on the Mount, he too was very serious. He's speaking plainly and pulling no punches here. In our passage today, Jesus explodes one of the greatest lies in human history, that lie being the ends justify the means. I've said it, and I've meant it, and I have a suspicion that maybe you've said it as well. But our Lord says no. Immoral, harsh, unethical, greedy, angry, wrong ways of doing things are never acceptable, even when we think we're working toward a good result. In Jesus, there is no such sentence as, I had to put my ethics on hold to get the right outcome. That is never acceptable to the Lord. You know, true prophets, true disciples, true ministers, true followers, only by their good fruit. Bad trees cannot make good fruit. Can healthy, good, life-giving fruit come from the thorns of hate? Can healthy, good, life-giving fruit come from the thistles of judgment? Can good come from bad? Never. Never. Bad means can never justify good ends. Can a suspension of the law of love be acceptable and result in good? No. No. The good news of Jesus Christ is believed and witnessed by others by the fruit we bear. It is believed because of the good fruit that blooms around us. Now, I need the attention of all the Awana folks, because I'm going to ask you, when we're talking about good fruit, are we talking about grapefruits, kiwi, peach, apples? What are the fruits of the Spirit? All right, I'll do it, and you just make your gestures. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Absolutely. We live into these things, and the results will be inevitable. The sick will be cured. Perhaps we won't get the physical or emotional cure that we hope for, but spiritual healing will take place where we have the means to deal with what's in store, because Christ promised, "Lo, I am with you always until the end of the age." And the people of God are with us always. The dead are raised. Jesus assures us, "Where I am going, you shall be also." The lepers are cleansed. The terrible disease of sin isolates us as much as those with skin diseases were isolated during Jesus' time. But in Jesus Christ, living into the fruit of the Spirit, we are wiped clean. The psalmist says, and I really did make this quotation yesterday when the sun was out. The psalmist says, "We are wiped whiter than snow." And demons are cast out. Honestly, each and every one of us have demons that try to drag us under. Sin, doubt, fear, despair, shame. They're all liars that try to separate us from the love of God. And what does the great Romans 8 chapter tell us? "In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. For I am convinced nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Bear good fruit. Be loving, joyful, peaceful, patient, kind, generous, faithful, gentle, and in control. And this leaves no room for the demons to make a lair. To quote the old hymn, we say to those demons, "Get you gone. Get you gone." I got my Jesus. I got my elders. I got my deacons. I got my church family. I got my pastors. You demons that are trying to drag me down, ain't no room for you. Get you gone. Jesus says it this way. "Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." Now, the second half of this passage is troubling to me. I got to tell you, I'm not comfortable with this false prophet and ravenous sheep and ravenous wolves and sheep clothing. This has always troubled me. And verse 21 is downright frightening. "Not everyone who cries out, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven." And Jesus goes on to say in verse 23, "I never knew you. Go away." Wow, this is frightening to me. If we are saved by faith alone in Christ Jesus, Romans 8, if we are saved by Christ alone, then how can anyone who professes Christ Jesus be seen as a stranger by him when we get to the gates of heaven? This troubles me. And I never really got it until last week. And this old dog learned something new this week. So I'm going to begin with the premise that really hit me between the eyes, and I'm going to repeat it because this is really important to me. All who call on Jesus aren't necessarily calling upon the Lord, but their own personal and often twisted version of our Savior. Listen to that again. All who call on Jesus aren't necessarily calling upon the Lord, but their own personal version and often twisted version of our Savior. Last week, I read the manuscript of a discussion that took place between two famous and well-dressed preachers live on television just days after September 11th, 2001. These preachers who call out, "Lord, Lord," boldly and famously, bore bad fruit. They bore horrible fruit. In their joint diatribe, these two famously prominent Lord Colorouters spewed hate and judgment and unjust blame. They self-righteously proclaimed that the 9/11 attacks were only carried out by terrorists, but they were caused by, brought on by, everyone who didn't think like them, look like them, worship like them, hate and judge like them. Yes, they were crying out, "Lord, Lord," but they were not calling out to mighty God Everlasting Father, Wonderful Counselor, and Prince of Peace. They were not crying out to the Lord who failed to condemn when given golden opportunities. They were crying out to a Lord they built, they worshiped, they controlled in their image. In other words, they were saying, we're powerful spokespeople. Look how many followers. Look at our TV ratings. We are casting out demons, but these are demons we made, demons we condemn. They never recognized our Lord and Savior, the Prince of Peace, who refused to condemn the woman caught in adultery, who refused to condemn those who were killing him. He said to the woman, and he says to us all the time, neither do I condemn you, but go and sin no more. If they are following a Lord in their image and likeness, they are not professing faith in the one true God of Jesus Christ. How can those who refuse to see and recognize and follow and obey the Most High God ever hope to enter the kingdom of God? Then the question comes up. How do we recognize these ravenous wolves in sheep's clothing? These Lord call-outers that are lurking among us. How do we know them? Jesus tells us to be as wise as serpents and as innocent as doves. Innocent as doves, absolutely. By all means, do your best to be loving, joyful, peaceful, patient, kind, generous, faithful, gentle, and in control. And pray, pray, pray. Ask the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you in the truth. That's why Jesus sent us the Holy Spirit. At the Last Supper, he says to his disciples and to us, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. And the Lord God gave us a wonderful gift, each and every one of us. We have brains, and we need to use them. It's one of the great things about being a Presbyterian. We're allowed to use our brains. If something doesn't make sense, if something seems out of whack to you on a faith issue, it is most likely nonsense. Using our brains means testing what you see and hear and feel and think. The apostle tells the Thessalonians, test everything, hold fast to what is good, abstain from every form of evil. And ask, is it good fruit? Test it. Is it good fruit? Is this fruit that will last? Does this fruit reflect the gifts of the Spirit? Every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. It almost sounds circular, but it makes so much sense. Judge things, test things, look at things on the fruit and which is born by it. Ask, is that what I'm seeing and hearing and feeling consistent with the will of God as revealed in the life and the preaching and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Does it pass the test of being godly as Christ was godly? Is God revealed his very self to us in Jesus Christ? Is what we are feeling and thinking and hearing and seeing reflect Jesus Christ? Another way to test is read the Bible. We have brains. Read the Bible. And then ask, is my seeing and hearing and feeling and thinking consistent with the Word of God revealed to us? Now, lots of people will say, well, the Bible never said anything about space travel or euthanasia. But we do know the scriptures. And we do know that carrying shocking graphic placards of the unborn at a fallen military hero's funeral is ungodly. We know that. We can interpret that from the scriptures. We have brains. We can interpret the scriptures. Again, 1 Thessalonians, test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. And then finally ask yourself, is this good news? Gospel. As gospel is defined by Jesus Christ, does this reflect the kingdom of heaven? God is near. God has started a new time. God is doing a new thing. This is a new way of thinking and being. Now, is what I'm thinking and hearing and seeing and doing, do these witness the kingdom of God? Earlier in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. If what you are seeing and hearing and feeling and thinking and doing do not reflect the kingdom of God, whomever, whatever, tell it, get you gone. Get you gone. Now, I can't stand it another minute. I have to tell a story. I'm a storyteller. And this one's on myself in these hard passages that finish up the Sermon on the Mount. At one of my churches, our praise band was doing a concert for the whole community. And my job was to introduce each of the songs with a scripture passage. The only problem was the concert happened on the very day it was like a 7 o'clock concert, and we got home from vacation at 5 o'clock. And I was on vacation, man. I wasn't thinking church, I wasn't thinking concert, or I wasn't carefully matching scripture passages with sacred music. So at the very last minute, I thought, I'll take the Sermon on the Mount. So I went through my little Bible, and I made a number by each of the section headings in the Sermon on the Mount. And I matched each number with each song. Oh, same amount of headings as songs. It must be ordained that I'm going to do this. Yeah, right. So it started out really well. Blessed are you. Blessed are you. Blessed are you. You are a light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Pray in this way. Then and of course, with the concert being so close, I really hadn't read through the Sermon on the Mount again. So as we start getting into these harder sayings, my eyes are getting bigger and bigger, and my voice is getting lower and lower. I had much regretted not being prepared because the concert was a celebration. And so it got to the point where I wanted to start skipping these ravenous wolves and sheep's clothing things and not being recognized by Christ at the gates of heaven. And I was really feeling bad about it when I got home. But I did it anyways because I had nothing else. So I was feeling bad about it. I thought I had brought down the celebration. And I shared this with a nice lady at church the next day. And she turned out to be as fierce and as wise as she is nice. She said, I'm glad we read the hard sayings of Jesus. I'm glad, because they lead us and guide us just as much as the feel-good passages. But at the same time, they warn and protect us. Smart lady, I'm telling you. In other words, she was saying to me, follow Jesus' teachings, be gentle as doves and as wise as serpents. Live into the gospel message as Christ commanded us. Test the things of faith. Love what is good. Hate what is evil. And tell anything that will lead you away from the kingdom of God, simply get you gone. Amen.